Yeah. For you young people, that was a few years back. Barb asked me a question this morning. She said, have you got your messages lined up to begin focusing on Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread? Of course, I had to say what, you know. But that's true. That's just a little over 2 months away, and we're going to be into the Holy Days. It's amazing, Spring Holy Days. So that's amazing. But my message today really should focus on sin, on man's way aside from God. Certainly doesn't work. And so as we prepare ourselves and get ourselves in a mindset of how this world and how we as human beings have gotten ourselves in trouble because of rejecting God, hopefully this sermon will help and get us started in our thinking of sin and the terrible, terrible disaster it's brought up on mankind. The title of my message today is God Gives Us Two Choices. Choose wisely. God gives us two choices. Choose wisely. You know, and I can ask the question, why do you think God called you and I? Why did God call us in the first place? I'm sure we could all give the name of other people who we believe, through their example, live a much better life than us. Why didn't God call them instead? For what reason did he have just to pluck you and I out of the crowd? Give us an opportunity to understand his truth, to understand that he has a great love for us, but more than that, the future that he has made available to us is something so powerful and so amazing. But why us? Even some of our family members set a much greater example than we do, individually. Why weren't they called now? Many people all around the world appear by their actions to be very good people. Very good people. I'm sure we've all met people like that. Just good people. They don't steal, they don't kill, they work hard to provide for their families and others, they give to the poor, they volunteer to help others, they're good neighbors and respect and obey the laws of their country. Just good people. There's so many worldly organizations that help those in need as well. The Salvation Army, the Goodwill, Red Cross, Volunteers of America, just to name a few. Good organizations that are built on people helping people. People being willing to serve no matter what. Many of the people who we've seen on the news who volunteer for the Red Cross get into some pretty dangerous situations as they go to volunteer to help others. Why aren't all of those people who serve others in this way called into God's church instead of us? Why aren't they sitting here today in these seats, in this room? Can anyone really be a good person without God's Holy Spirit? That would be the next question that comes to my mind. Well, wait a minute. They weren't called. They don't have God's Holy Spirit. So can they really be a good person? Why do some people in the world do more good than some of us in God's church? Why is that? Why do they serve more, volunteer more, put themselves in danger more than we do? And do these questions really answer who's a Christian and who isn't? Does doing good things for others make a person a Christian? And if a person doesn't do good things for others, are they not a Christian? And there is a source to find the answer to these questions. The same source we use to find the answer to many questions about life. But that source is a story of something that Mr. Armstrong talked about many, many times. And that's the story of the two trees that God placed in the Garden of Eden. We can go back there and find out why things are like they are with people. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And read in verse 8. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we hear about those two trees. Out of all of the garden, these are the only plants, trees that are named. But God put them both in the garden. Then we go down to verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. It's all yours. I made it for you. Of all of the trees you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. God had some rules. God had a commandment that he talked about with Adam. God was very clear on the outcome if Adam and Eve chose to disobey his command and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God made it very clear what would happen. In Genesis 3 and in verse 10, things changed. The relationship between man and God changed. We'll start in verse 9. It said, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? God was coming, as he had done many times before, to have a conversation, to have a relationship with his creation. So he came and said, where are you? Where are you, Adam? And in verse 10, so he said, where are you? And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. This had never happened before. Something had changed. And in verse 11, and he, God, said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? And he said, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? God knew something had changed. So he asked Adam, have you eaten of that tree? Human nature hasn't changed much since that time because Adam and Eve did exactly what most of us would do. Instead of standing up and saying, yes, God, I did something and I'm sorry. I made a terrible mistake. That's not what they said. Then the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. It really goes back to your fault, God. You gave me that woman. She gave me the apple. So it's really not my fault. I'm not responsible. So in verse 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. I didn't do it. The serpent did. Made me. Deceived me. So it's not my fault. The blame game is still being played by human beings around the world today. Blame anyone else except myself for my choice to disobey God. Always somebody else's fault. How many times have we heard other church members blame other church members for them leaving God's church? Not my fault. They offended me. They said something that upset me. So I'm leaving. Not my fault, though. We still do that today. Those two trees are not physically growing anywhere today. We can't see them anyway. They're not something physical we can smell, see, touch. And if we look at what kind of fruit was produced by these trees, we find that one produced spiritual fruit and one produced physical fruit. Totally different. With the help of God's Holy Spirit, we can experience the spiritual fruit of the tree of life in our personal lives today. And we read in the book of Matthew about two ways we can choose to live our lives. It continues on, two ways in the book of Matthew. Just as there were two trees in the garden for Adam and Eve to choose from, we get a choice too. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 13. Two ways we can go here. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by that. That's the easy way to go. That's the easy life. That's the life with all the fun and pleasure and excitement and self-gratification. Or verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So God's way is not the easiest way to live our lives. Being a Christian is not the easiest way to do things. But it's the way that leads to life. It's what God has given us, the knowledge that He's given us, the spiritual knowledge to understand. There's something better. There's something beyond what we have now. One gate leads to death, one gate leads to life. One tree led to life, one tree led to death. The same choice for us is the same choice God gave our first parents. The choices God gives us are clear. Choose life or choose death. It's up to us. And it sounds simple until we're the one living this life. And we have to make those choices. Then it becomes difficult. It's easy for me to say to somebody else, well, that's simple, just do the right thing. But when it comes back to me and I have to make that choice, then everything's involved. It becomes difficult. And it becomes complicated because of our own vanity and will to do things our own way. That's built into us. We want to do things our way. I want to do what makes me feel good. I want to do what brings me pleasure. I want to do what makes me successful. Really, by reading Genesis 2 and verse 9, we could say there are three choices to make instead of two. If we wanted to break it down a little bit. The first choice would be choose life. The second choice would be to choose good, being a good person, living a good life. And the third choice would choose to be an evil person, and some people do. It's hard to figure that out, why people would choose to be an evil person and live an evil life, but we have seen through the years that some people actually do that. That's how they want to live their life. And we have the power, God's given us that power, to make one of these choices of how we want to live. God doesn't make us live one way or the other. He's given us that freedom to make that choice. Our prisons are full of people who made the decision to hurt and kill another person. They chose evil. They chose to live their life that way. And we must remember what was said about choosing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in verse 17 of Genesis 2. It says, if this is our choice, that we will surely die. We're giving up something if we make that choice. From the beginning, God's given us the freedom to make those choices that He's placed before us. God has not forced us to do anything. God's opened our mind, He's called us, but the choice to answer that call and to follow Him and to change the way we do things, to repent of sin and change the way we live, that's a choice we make. God allows us to do that. But you just wonder, why did God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden anyway? What was the point of that? Well, God had dealt with sin. God had dealt with rebellion. With Lucifer. God knew it was very possible in His physical creation that could deal with the same thing. God knew that man would have to make the right choice, would have to prove himself in order to gain eternal life in His kingdom. Man had to want to make that choice on his own free will. God certainly didn't want to force His creation, us human beings, to do anything. Adam and Eve would have to accept the fact that God was right in what He told them. They needed to believe that what He told them was true. And you wonder why they didn't. Because God created them, God provided for them, He gave them everything from the air to breathe to what they ate in the most beautiful place on the planet to live. Everything was provided, but they chose not to listen to Him. But we still have that same problem again. Man does not accept God's word as the truth and the only way to live our lives. We question it. We question it. We don't believe it. Many people question the existence of God in the first place. We not only have religious division in this country and around the world, we're divided on many other beliefs on how man should live his life. It's not just religion. Some people think choosing the tree of life restricts them or places too many limits on what they can do in their life. If I'm a Christian and I obey God, I can't do this and I can't do that. I just can't live a good, solid life. And we've seen religions that teach that, where the members of that particular religion may walk around with a frown on their face, dragging their knuckles on the ground, and woe is me. Life is hard. Can't have any fun, can't sing, can't dance. I remember we visited the Quaker, many of you may have in the Quaker, was it not the Quaker Village, but the Shaker Village down by Lexington. And you go in there, and of course, the church was extinct. And then when you went in and you found out, well, the women are over here, the men are over here, and they really can't have anything to do with each other, and you wondered, duh. That pretty much tells us where they went. But religion, you know, without God can get crazy. It can get weird. But man wants to make up his own rules. Some people think that choosing that tree restricts them. The Sabbath and the holy days become a burden. Some of the commandments are okay to keep, they'll tell you. They're good. The ones that protect my family. But, you know, for the most part, we really don't need them. We really just don't need them. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil gives them the freedom to make their own decisions on what's right and what's wrong. Just what Adam and Eve were looking for. They wanted to make that decision. They didn't want God making that for them. Now, they could have made good decisions. They could make poor decisions. After all, it was a tree of the knowledge of not just evil, but good and evil. But people like to keep their glamorous and exciting things in their lives. They like to keep all of that good stuff. And the bottom line is, they say they can decide for themselves what's good for them. I know what's good for me and my family. I don't need God telling me that. I know. I'm not an idiot. In verse 1 through 5 of Genesis 3, we see how human beings were going to think for themselves. Let's turn there back to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. And in verse 1. Genesis 3 and in verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, questioning her, let's put a little doubt in her mind, let's get her thinking, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Satan knew what God had said. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor you shall not touch it, lest you die. Don't even touch it. Don't go near it. It's not good for you. It will not bring you happiness and joy. It will not put you in a better place. It will not give you anything that I've not already given you. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You won't die. I'm not sure what God was talking about, but you won't die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So what do you think caught Eve's attention here in this conversation? A couple of things that the serpent said would have appealed to anyone's vanity. The first thing is you won't die. Oh, okay. I misunderstood. Or for whatever reason, maybe God never chose to tell me the whole story. But you say, I won't die, okay. And number two, you will be on an equal with God. Oh, wow, that's appealing. So, yeah, okay, I get it. We can do that. But Satan took a spiritual truth and contradicted it with a physical answer. He got Eve all focused and thinking about herself, physically. When God told Adam and Eve if they disobeyed him, they would die, he was talking about a spiritual death, not a physical death. They were going to give up eternal life. God was talking to them in a spiritual sense. But Satan, just like he still does today, will take all of that and turn it into something we can understand and something that appeals to us that's contrary to what God is doing. Satan told Eve that she would be alive the next day and that she must have misunderstood what God said. And since that time, man has tried to solve spiritual problems with physical solutions, and it doesn't work. Because most of the problems that mankind has are spiritual in nature, and we don't understand that. Loving relationships with God and our neighbor are based on spiritual principles, not physical. Physical temporary solutions will not cause people to begin to love each other and live in peace. It just won't happen. Until our world leaders and dictators are no longer motivated by vanity, pride, lust, and getting for themselves, we will not have world peace. Jesus Christ will bring us world peace, not human leaders. And as long as individual human beings think the same way, we will not solve any of our destructive problems. We'll continue on the way we've been going. When man tries to solve his problem in a physical way, he doesn't comprehend that his reasoning is influenced by the same spirit that influenced Adam and Eve. 24/7 on the clock, trying to disrupt and destroy what God is doing. Man was made in the image of God, and we look like God. That's what Scripture says. But God wants us to develop his spiritual image inside as well as outside. When we're resurrected as spirit beings, we'll be like God in composition. We'll be spirit beings, no longer physical, no longer flesh and blood. We'll no longer be bound by physical matters. We'll be solving our problems spiritually, not physically. Does God know good and evil? Sure he does. God's never experienced doing something evil. God's never sinned, but he knows. He's seen, he's witnessed firsthand how terrible it can be. And mankind, because of wrong decisions, has experienced the full range of good and evil. The full range. Unbelievable things, and we I'm sure have not heard of all of the evil that's been done in this world. But had Satan been honest with Adam and Eve about their future and about what they were giving up, which was their eternal life if they disobeyed God, the story may have ended better. And unless they have or will repent, they'll give up their eternal life. That was a serious, serious decision that they made. But Satan wasn't up front with them. 1 John 3, if you turn there with me. 1 John 3. First John 3 and in verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's what God has called us to. That's what Adam and Eve's future could have been. But because they were looking for something else, because they wanted to be on an equal with God, they wanted to be the one who made the decision, they got themselves in trouble. There are two ways man can be like God. Satan told Eve that she and Adam would be like God, knowing good and evil, being able to understand that what Satan said here was true. That was true. They did know good from evil. But what he didn't explain was man would experience good and evil and all of the heartache, pain, and suffering that goes with it. That wasn't explained. How do you think they felt when their one son murdered the other one? What went through their head? What were they thinking? How did that affect them? We as parents can't even imagine how that would affect us. But did they think back on the choice they made back in the garden? About the decision they made? Satan also forgot to tell them that by being cut off from God, they would not be completely able to know right from wrong or good from evil. Only in a physical way. They really wouldn't understand the dangers and the depth of the choices they were making. The first way people want to be like God is really self-centered. They want to make their own laws to live by. They want to be equal with God. They want to be the lawgiver. We want to make up our own rules to live by. Man wants to do that. The second way is selfless, to live their life more in a more difficult way of obedience to God, acknowledging that we don't know right from wrong without God's guidance. We have a problem telling that apart. We need God to direct us, God to kick us over a little bit, get us back on a straight line. Any one of us could make the choice to leave the church today, walk out of here right now. I've had enough. Don't want it anymore. And probably be alive tomorrow, unless you walked out here and walked in front of a truck or something. Probably be alive tomorrow, just as Adam and Eve were alive the next day after they rejected God. Adam and Eve made a choice, but neither one wanted to accept the responsibility for their choice, their actions. People are like that today. In verse 12 of Genesis 3, Adam told God, "The woman you gave me caused the problem." The woman said, "The serpent caused the problem." Just like we do today, try to justify what we do and the choices we make. It didn't work then with God, and it certainly doesn't work today. Genesis 3, go back there, Genesis 3. Genesis 3 and verse 22. Genesis 3 and in verse 22. Says, "Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden, and the flaming sword which turned every way, to guard the way to the tree of life." It was no longer available. Sin had cut Adam off from God. Sin had cut Adam and Eve off from the tree of life. Man was cut off from his creator and put out of the most beautiful place on the earth because of sin. Because of making that choice. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. And in verse 25, a very familiar verse. One that hopefully always gets our attention. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." The same thing happened with Adam and Eve. All of these things happen for our benefit, so that we learn from their mistakes. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil seemed like a good idea to Adam and Eve at the time. It just seemed right that we know right from wrong. It seemed right that we can make our own decision. We're smart enough to do that. We're going to go for it. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Another verse, another scripture that should give us a heads up. Proverbs 21 and verse 2. "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts." What's in here? What's in here? Remember, we look like God on the outside. God wants us to look like Him on the inside. What's in our hearts? Why do we make the choices we make? Why do we do what we do? What may seem like the right thing to do may cost us our future. Consult with God. And if Eve would have consulted with God, if she would have said, wait a minute, that's not what God told us, I want him here in this conversation, that would have changed the outcome as well. We have the ability to go before our Creator and ask him to please help me with this decision, with this choice that I'm about to make. Is it the right choice? Is it the right decision? And we need to do that before we follow through with our actions. Not after, but before. Because making the wrong decision just gives us access continually to the wrong tree. We keep going back to that tree. That's not what we should be doing. Man has many choices to make, from what type of government, religion, education, marriage, and everything else. And we've seen through education, we've seen through government, we've seen through religion, we've seen through marriage, man doesn't do all that great of a job by saying what these things should be. We're seeing more and more, and it won't be long now before all across this nation, every state is forced pretty much to recognize same-sex marriage. If they won't pass their own laws, or even if the people of that particular state have passed a law against that, our federal government is overruling that. Our Supreme Court is overruling those votes. So it won't be long. But that is not God's decision. That is not God's law. That is man's law. Made physically. Because they only understand physical solutions. They don't understand spiritual solutions. And until man recognizes God as the lawgiver, he'll continue, for the most part, to make wrong decisions based on his physical knowledge of good and evil. Some people do good things based, again, on their physical knowledge of good and evil, choosing to be good. And that's great. That's great that people make that choice to be a good person, a person who cares for others, who wants to help others, who serves others. But man can make the choice of being good or evil. But man's choices are based on what he thinks is good or bad, not on what God thinks, but what he thinks is good or bad. Sometimes man's choices agree with God, sometimes they don't. But because they don't agree all the time or agree, the decision man makes are based on what's best for him, what's best for me, what's best for my family. Man wants to pick and choose what part of God's truth is good and he can live by. What part do I agree with? Which part won't cramp my lifestyle? Choices. God has given us his laws to live by for our benefit and good. And again, we need to understand that. And man picks and chooses which one he considers good and bad. After all, man can make that choice. The seventh-day Sabbath and holy days give most people a big problem. They just don't fit. Man, all these fantastic football games are on Saturday. I can't miss that. You realize MSU's playing Michigan? Who's going to miss that game? I'm not missing that game. Choices that we make. Seems good. God understands. God understands this choice. It's a physical choice. We, especially in God's church, should be making spiritual choices based on what we know are God's spiritual laws. And a man will agree with not killing anyone because that protects them. protects them and their family. Or don't steal, because I don't want you taking my stuff. So, yeah, I'll go along with that. Those are good commandments. Yeah, everybody ought to keep them. But beyond that, they want to make the rules. If I want to commit adultery, if I want to beat my wife, if I want to steal, if I want to be mean to my parents, if I want to do anything I want to do, that's okay. If I want to marry a monkey, probably get some judge in the country to say that's okay. And it's sad. But we try to manipulate and do everything we can do to make laws fit us instead of us fitting God's laws. This is goodness based on man's goodness, not on the righteousness of God. Societies create laws from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man without God is good only on a physical or human level. They can't get beyond that. Without God, you cannot get beyond that, beyond the physical. Matthew chapter 7, if you turn there with me. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 and in verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? We were religious. We did what we felt we needed to do. And in verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Not keeping God's laws, keeping man's laws, keeping physical laws. People can think they're righteous by doing things in God's names, but that may not be true, according to Scripture. John chapter 5, turn there with me. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and in verse 39. John chapter 5 and in verse 39. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. And in verse 40, but you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. Not willing to go to God. Not willing to seek out God. God, what do you want? What do you want? I read here in Scripture that the seventh day is a Sabbath day. But that's not my understanding. I understand because all of my neighbors do it and all of my family do it. They keep Sunday. And I see, but oh, that's okay. God understands. I'll just go ahead and go with the family. Instead of seeking out God and going to God and say, Father, I see what it's saying here. Help me to understand it. Help me to change so I fit in with your commandments and your laws and not mine or not man's. We must be willing to submit ourselves to God, trusting Him through our obedience. If Adam and Eve would have done that, what a different world we'd live in. Submitting ourselves to God. We must do things for the right reason. We are spiritually good because of God's righteousness, not because of anything we do physical, but because of God's righteousness. Human beings do things out of vanity, pride, selfishness, greed, lust, and jealousy. Human love, which we get from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is not enough. It's not enough. We need unselfish love from the tree of life. We give just as Jesus Christ gave. And we will have both the divine love of God and human love as Christ had. And follow that example that he set for us. We have to recognize the difference from sitting under the tree of life and sitting under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We need to be sitting under the right tree. We need to be eating from the right tree. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And in verse 172. Psalms 119 and verse 172. Says, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. God's righteousness. God's law. Not man's. What God has for us. All of God's commandments are righteousness. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the same as he was when he created Adam and Eve. When he confronted them in the garden and asked them if they had broken the commandment he gave them and eaten of the tree. God's the same today. From the tree of life we get God's law. We get unity, we get harmony, and we have peace. Because we're obeying God's laws. All of these things come with obedience. Romans 3. Romans 3. Romans 3. Romans 3 and verse 10. Romans 3 and verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Without God, it's impossible. It's impossible to be anything other than good physically. Other things we get from the tree of life, or as it says in Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit, which helps us grow spiritually. We get eternal life. And we're told in Matthew 6:33 to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek that first. Number one priority. Number one priority. So what are the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Wars, abuses, drugs, sickness, racial problems, terrible marriages and heartaches, famine, air, water, food pollution, drought, broken educational system, religious confusion, failing world governments, and total disrespect for God. That's the fruit of the tree of good and evil. Growing in the fruit of the Spirit, growing in godly character, and as I mentioned before, eternal life, fruits of the tree of life. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22. And in verse 1. Revelation 22, 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruit, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And in verse 14, Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates. Remember those narrow gates? Enter into the gates into the city. Our reward is going through those narrow gates to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, understanding spiritual things, not depending on our physical decisions and choices. God gives us two choices. God gave Adam and Eve two choices. We still have those same two choices today. So it's up to us, after Bible study, after looking at the scriptures, after prayer, after building our relationship with God, after striving to overcome each and every day, it's up to us to choose wisely.